Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast number 13. This is Michael Loft.
And I'm Ricky Inger. Welcome to Lucky Number 13.
I had good luck on, actually it was Friday the 13th, I got first place in a speaking competition in high school, and I decided then that 13 is not a bad number.
Hey, I would agree. I find Friday the 13th to be no worse than any other day, and sometimes even better.
I like to, in every podcast, talk about a new exciting piece of software, and I found one last night. It's been out a few days. Actually, it's been a couple of weeks. It started out as a command line application, and Jamal Masri has written a GUI or GUI for it. It's called McTwit.
Jamal has put the GUI on it, and you're able to do all of the typical things that you would do on Twitter, like reply and do direct messages. You can even go to a URL that somebody has posted in their status. There's the go button, and it has lots of other cool features.
Blows away Twitteroo. We can put that thing in the can. You know, so unless you're just happy using the OutTwit, but I don't want to launch Outlook every time to interface with Twitter. Very cool. Well, let's take a look at the wonderful world of AT News.
One of the biggest things happening this week is that the NLS pilot program is no longer a pilot. The site does go live on the 30th. You no longer have the issue of being limited to 30 downloads a month. I will, however, be gracious for the first little while, and I hope you all will too, about not overloading the server and downloading 6,000 books, because they're not going anywhere. They'll be there.
Don't try right off the bat, I want to fill this 16 or 32 gig card, you know, like, wait a little bit. No point downloading hundreds of books when obviously you can't read them in that short a period of time. So give them a chance. You know, any new technology, there could be a glitch or two. If you have an existing password and know what that is, you should just be able to migrate over Thursday to the new URL. If you don't have it, some folks did not get that email. You can go to serotalk.com and, yes, go read the show notes, and we will have the URL for that that launches Thursday the 30th. It's called BARD, Braille Audio Reading Download. Staples making some changes. We seem to hear every month or so of some large-scale retailer agreeing to make some modifications both in-store and to their website. In this case, Staples will be adding some tactile keypads so people can enter their pins without having to give it to someone else and be fearful of someone overseeing it and maybe absconding that information. That, and apparently they're going to make some mods to the Staples.com website. I've never bought anything from there, so I wasn't aware that it wasn't accessible, but apparently there have been some issues there, and ACB and the California Council have been involved in that project, and I'm sure some others as well.
Yeah, I've never bought anything from the Staples online store, but I certainly have from the retail store, and I think this is a great move by them, and I hope that a lot of other people will follow suit, because it's so nice to be able to enter your PIN without having to ask someone that you don't necessarily trust, and for that matter, don't even know at all, to enter your PIN for you. That's just a little bit nerve-wracking, and I don't think it's necessary. So again, I applaud what they're doing.
It will be in Boston, I guess, later in the fall or something, like Massachusetts, and nationwide by mid-2010. So right on, Staples. You win our support and approval for that. And I will make sure that when I'm in the market for office supplies, I will give you first dibs because of that. It does mean something. Anyone's listening, hey, there's a few cents from Michael off, literally. Windows 7 may be ahead of schedule.
Isn't this interesting? I don't know that this has ever happened in Microsoft's illustrious history, but there are rumors pretty much everywhere talking about how we may see this as early as July, which is quite a bit ahead of schedule from the January 2010, I think, projected release date. And I have to say that Windows 7, even in its current beta form, is it does not feel like beta software. it's snappy, it's intuitive, it's feature rich, and it's not prone to crashing. And that's what we want to see in an OS. So way to go, Microsoft.
Well, I still like Mike Calvo's statement, Vista done right. But anyway, if you'd like to learn more about Windows 7, there will be an Accessible World presentation by Rick Harmon. By the time you hear this podcast, it will have been a past event. Let's just put it that way. So you can go to accessibleworld.org and hear that and find out what Rick will show you about some of the new goodies in Windows 7.
He has the Blind Geek Zone website and podcast and is a frequent contributor to Blind Cool Tech, so you're probably familiar with his material already.
You know who he sounds like to me?
Who's that?
He sounds like John Goodman, the guy that played Dan Connor on Roseanne.
Yes, Rick, absolutely. He does.
Apparently, if you are having difficulty coming up with the bucks to buy that desired mobile phone software, Handy Tech of North America is set up a trial program they're doing right now where if you're willing to pay $100 for a processing fee, so to speak, you can buy your favorite mobile phone and GPS software with installments.
This is nice because now I think people often may choose a very cheap phone because they have to think about purchasing the screen reader on top of that. And sometimes people might not even get a phone at all because they know that they just don't have the money to get the software to make it talk.
I would guess part of that also is the fact that something like Mobile Speaker Talks, that's not very expensive. Mobile Geo, a lot of people want it but just can't lay out $845. So
yeah, it's definitely going to benefit those who want to get Mobile Geo and just can't shell out the bucks. This is a great thing that Handy Tech is doing. It's going to put this technology into the hands of a lot more people.
I don't think you're going to go wrong by doing business with Handy Tech.
Yeah, Handy Tech, you guys rock.
This just posted on the Mac Visionaries list. They are releasing to developers and people who just generally want to offer remote assistance to other users some software. And the Mac that has a DMG format, but basically will allow you to remote into someone else's system, I guess hear their voice over speech, and be able to assist them with learning or troubleshooting problems they may be having with their Mac.
Apple having built-in voiceover into the Mac operating system was a really nice move, and now with this on top of it, Mac users can have the ability to get remote assistance or give remote assistance without having to pay anything. Free is my favorite four-letter word.
Anything else going on, Ricky, in AT land or otherwise?
I don't know that much is going on that I can speak a great deal about in AT land, but I can say I think Eddie may have made his first debut on the podcast. He's here chewing on a bone, so if you have heard some strange noise in the background and are wondering what that is, Eddie, my guide dog, is our special guest on the podcast. So welcome, Eddie.
Welcome, Eddie. I've not heard you, buddy, but you're welcome to bark at any time, and I won't even edit it. You've been home, what, a month, 2 months? So
it's been a little over a month, yeah.
So are you noticing a difference, obviously, when you travel, but I mean the reactions of other people? More people want to come up and talk and say hi.
Well, it's funny. The reactions that I have gotten are interesting, and they range from people saying, oh, he's so beautiful. I had a dog who looks just like him, and he was a Chihuahua, and, you know, weird things like that. But aside from those oddities, the reaction to me in general has been a little more friendly and a little less condescending. When I was traveling with the cane, people often spoke about me in the third person. You know, does she need any help? Or they would come up, and if I were crossing the street, sometimes people would want to grab my arm and drag me across with them and things like that. But that has not come up at all since I've had the dog. It seems that people see blind person and dog, and it's something of an icebreaker, and it's also, I don't know why, but people tend to think that I'm a little more independent and a little less in need of help with a dog than they thought I was with a cane.
Maybe the confidence that you have, the speed that you're traveling, where you're not hesitating, you know, you're not shorelining or lining up with the curb. But what about children? I know you take your son to the bus stop.
I do, and it's funny because he, in general, is very well educated about how to interact with the dog, and he wants the public to be also. We were out and about, and a little toddler saw the dog, and my son was very quick to inform this little two-year-old that you can't pet him when he's working. He's in the harness, so you can't pet him. So he's being a public educator, but in the wee hours of the morning, when it's like 4 or 5 in the morning, and Eddie is sleeping there, my son will sometimes get up and lie down in the floor with him and have some private bonding time, which has been kind of interesting because now Eddie will look at other children and think, hey, I'd like to go over and visit them. And so far, he has not been really adamant about it. He's never jerked me in the right direction, but he certainly does have that little bit of a distraction. So it's something that we're working on. Guide dogs are not for everyone either. But having said that, I regret not having made my decision to get a dog sooner.
Well, I know of blind people who live out in the country, live on farms, and actually use a horse to travel. I mean, a regular horse, you know, not the miniatures that they actually use as service animals.
Pretty much anything is possible. I haven't heard of anybody having a service camel. I have heard of birds as service animals, though not necessarily for blind people. There were more therapy animals as opposed to guides of any kind. I suppose any animal which is trained properly could be considered by someone as a service animal.
I read a story about a cat who protected its owners when someone tried to break in, cut the screen, climbed in the window, and the cat attacked them and they ran off.
No kidding.
But the cat, you gotta like this, was blind.
Really?
Yeah, how cool is that?
Now that's what I like to hear.
Well, stay tuned for the podcast. We're going to give you a little demo of yours truly speaking on the Gara Show on ACB Radio, and it was live. I love live. I mean, archiving is great. You can edit your little faux pas, but when you're live, you got to get it right, and you got one shot to do it. There's something about the adrenaline of a live event.
And it was a great live event.
Of course, if you'd like to be in our podcast network by that, where we promote you, you promote us, and if you like, we'll come on your show and you come on ours, and we all increase listeners as a result, send an email to content@serotech.com, and we'll be glad to work with you on that, or call the Blab line, 866-997-BLAB.
See you all a couple of weeks from now.
Now speaking with Mike Calvo, and before I tell you what I did, let's see what Mike has over there. You got some new hardware toys, huh?
What you did.
I just switched the connectors on my microphone to see if people can tell an audible difference. It's the same mic, but instead of going through the mixer, I'm now using a device called a Blue Icicle, spelled I-C-I-C-L-E. Basically, it converts an XLR to a USB connector, so you don't need a mixer.
Oh, cool. Well, speaking of blue, I'm actually talking to you. I know I don't have my usual golden tones today, but I'm talking to you actually on something called the Blue Eyeball. These people are very strange. They really are, and I think that they set out to be. It's a company called Blue Microphones. Those of you that are familiar with podcasting have heard of their, I believe it's the Blue Snowball, Michael. That's the very popular microphone that they have on the market.
Right, but that one requires, you have to really know how to use it and be game on.
Well, this particular one is, this is a camera. It looks like a ball where one half of the ball has kind of a metal screen around it, like you would expect on the end of a microphone. On the left-hand side, it's got a little camera. It does do HD video, which is better than the 640 by 480 that you usually get out of these cameras. Skype handles it very well. This is a very, very small, compact device, requires no kind of installation whatsoever. You just plug it into a Windows computer or a Mac, and it requires absolutely no kind of drivers whatsoever. It just works, dude. It's awesome. It sounds great. The reason that you hear what you hear here compared to my other microphone, I work from home, as most of us do at Serotech, and we don't work in professional recording studios, except for you, Michael, and I'm sure you have a bit more of a recording setup than most of us, but I usually use just my G-Track microphone, which is very directional, you know, and I can speak into it, and I have a windscreen for it. This is actually just sitting on my desk. I have my arm on the desk, and I'm looking at the mic, and I'm talking to it, like if I was having a regular conversation, and of course, you can hear room ambience, and as I move away, now I'm over here, so now I'm sitting back in my chair, and I'm talking. Does it sound okay?
Yes, still sounds good. I would argue it sounds better than the G-Track, and that the G-Track puts artificial bass, which is great when you want to be Barry White and schmooze the ladies, but that one has more upper frequencies, and I would argue, and anyone who has met you might argue, it better captures your voice.
Well, I'm an old radio guy, so radio is kind of, I mean, we're all used to that, you know, that vibe. And yeah, I think that this mic probably captures the essence of me, because my voice isn't as bassy as you would think on the podcasts or even on a lot of the production work that folks have heard me do throughout the years.
Right. So I would not use that for broadcast production because of the ambience of the room, but it's great for chats and presentations and things of that sort, I think.
Oh, no. And when you're on the road, man, this is great. And for accessible meetings and things like that, if you're doing a chat, if we're doing one of our tech talks, when we travel, I lug my G-Track with me. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but still, it gets very strange looks at the airport because it's a big radio microphone. You know, the G-Track is a solid recording device. It is a great microphone. And then it's got this pedestal, man, that, you know, that must weigh 4 pounds. It's a solid block of metal, you know, and it's got the windscreen with the little sock on it type of stuff, you know, the nylon on it. So it looks very strange in a bag. And of course, I always get stopped by TSA. What is that, sir? We're going to have to examine your bag. This just goes in my laptop bag. Actually, the Blue I've had for a couple of weeks now, and I just got back from a road trip. Waiting for me here was my brand spanking new HP DV2, which is a new laptop that HP just put out that I'm looking at. And it is a competitor, I think, to kind of the MacBook Air. Very, very thin, 12.1-inch screen. It's got the new AMD processor. Please don't ask me to say what it is because I don't remember what it's called. It is the competitor to the Atom. This thing's got some really cool features, though. It's $749, and right now, if you buy it from HP through the 30th of April, you can use a coupon code and pay $719 for the system. It comes with a DVD burner, a LightScribe DVD burner and everything, 4 gigs of RAM, a rather massive hard drive. I forget if it's 160 gigs or greater, a 6-cell battery. It is one heck of a deal. I literally opened it up 15 minutes before we recorded this. The keyboard is the same one that is on the Mini Note 1000 or the 2140. So it is a very nice keyboard, but it's a 12.1-inch screen, and it's got HD video out, so you can hook it up to your TV set. It's got some really neat features. I like it. It's the DV2. I've never seen the DV1 before. I'll talk about it on the next podcast. I wish I could say more exciting stuff about the Blue Eyeball, except for I'm on it. I think it's very cool. This is a very neat device. It's about $79 if you look for it online. If you just got to have it this afternoon, you could probably find it locally for about $99 at Best Buy or what have you. If you can wait a couple days, go to buy.com or Newegg or one of these places and pay $79. I mean, save yourself $20. They'll ship it for free. And there's one more thing in our Blue collection that I'm waiting for, Michael, which we've talked about before. It is, of course, you and I love this, the Blue Mikey. It is a microphone that attaches to an iPod Nano, and I'll be doing a demo of that in the next couple of podcasts, probably either the next podcast or the podcast after that. You know, we've got some cool technology coming around the corner, as of course here on Sarah Talk, where we were talking about that this morning in our production meeting. We really just want to give you information. We want to make sure that you know what we know. You know, we want to open up our brains and do a download into yours. And sometimes our shows may not, you know, follow one particular line of thought. Sometimes they do. Michael's always keeping it fresh and keeping us surprised. We do hope that you're enjoying the podcast, that you're enjoying the tech talks. And please do make sure you contact us on the phone line, on the blab line, or if you contact us via email, post comments up on the blog. And we've got some other really cool ways for you to get in touch that we're going to be announcing in the next few weeks. So keep posted. I know I've been real busy doing other things, so I haven't been able to pop up on the podcast, but I've been listening. I've been reading your comments from the emails and listening to the messages on Blabline. And do keep in touch. I really enjoy them, as I'm sure the rest of the crew does.
Well, as we've discussed before on Cero Talk, we are building a network of various quality podcasts out there. And one of the shows that we have added to the mighty cross-linking network, and we call it that because we promote each other and increase listenership for all that way, but it's The Guerra Show. And here on the Skype with me is Stephen Guerra. Thanks for taking a few minutes, sir.
Anytime, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Now, you do a few different podcasts, right? You don't just have one theme. Is that correct?
I started off initially back in 2006 with the Beat Baseball podcast, which was to promote the sport of beat baseball, as I still continue to do, as being secretary for the National Beat Baseball Association, which has always been a sponsor of any of the shows that I've done.
And how many teams are out there nationally?
Currently, there are 16 teams registered.
Is that just in the U.S. or is it international as well?
It is international as well. We actually have a team from Taiwan that's going to be taking part. Of course, they've been with us for quite some time. They recently notified us and let us know that they're coming to this year's Beat Baseball World Series in Stockton, California. But you have teams that go as far east as New York and Boston, as far west as Sacramento and Stockton, California, as far south as Tyler, Texas, and as far north as the RHI Indianapolis Thunder.
So what is the website if people want to find out if there is a team in their area, maybe they have any availability, maybe someone would like to participate in that, or maybe even start a team?
Yeah, exactly. Fundamentally, they can go to NBBA, that's NancyBoyBoyAlpha.org. I started with the Beat Baseball podcast, and that lasted through December of 07. Then I went to It's All About Sports, which went through January of 08 through January of 09. It only lasted about a year, but there's that website also. It's allaboutsports.info. January of 09, I said, you know, there has to be more. And unfortunately, I heard about Morlena, who did a two-hour show on ACB Radio, retiring, and I got the opportunity to and was offered her slot on ACB Radio. And I've been broadcasting on ACB Radio since June of 08 with It's All About Sports. So when I was able to make the transition, it was hard to find what I wanted to do, but I wanted there to be a broad scope. I said, hey, why not The Garrett Show? A dear friend who started the Beat Baseball team in New York with me, his name is Ted. His daughter used to call me Gara. So it was kind of fitting that I kind of got the name and took the name from what she used to call me all the time. The Gara Show, it's a hodgepodge. It's like a variety show of you never know what you're going to be getting. It could be sports. It could be entertainment, technology. We want to try to appeal to a cross stream of individuals who can learn and benefit from anything we have to offer.
So what are your personal interests? Because that does, like it or not, affect what kind of topics you bring up
sure.
on the show. Obviously, you're involved in sports and the Beat Baseball. And you mentioned a new tabletop.
Yeah.
Kind of cross hybrid between air hockey and table tennis. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? I think our listeners would be interested.
That's a fun sport. That's called Power Showdown. It's been a demonstration and or an entertainment thing at the Paralympics since 2000. Which was held in Sydney, Australia, and in 2004 in Athens, and this past year in Beijing. It's a fun sport because imagine it's about a 12-foot-long table that has a perimeter or a rim around it. It's a game that's played with a ball that has ball bearings inside of it or beads. You have two paddles, a paddle on either side of the table, on either end of the 12-foot table. You have to shoot the ball. You have to hit the ball into the net of your opponent, and you have to get to a score of 11 first before your opponent, or you have to beat them at least by two goals. And it's called Power Showdown. Information about that sport and also about the computer version of that sport, of course, is available on thegera.com, G-U-E-R-R-A, thegera.com. The computer version of it was actually created and developed by a 14-year-old in Switzerland named Philip. To me, if he's doing that at 14 years old, what is he going to do at 28? Pretty inventive for a teenager, and most teenagers are not doing things of that caliber. But it's
well, I know. I mean, our lead developer started programming when he was 9, so some people just have the passion for that. But what else do you do? I mean, when you're not podcasting or involved in athletic events, what else are you doing?
My life has been all around AT and playing with new things and checking things out. I have a lovely family. I have a 4-year-old Taylor and 6-year-old Madeline. We have a third on the way that my wife is doing in October. So, you know, the girls keep me busy.
And as girls will do. Wait another 10 years, you'll need another phone line or two.
Interesting is our 6-year-old the other day said, I'm going to so-and-so's house. Mom, can I have your cell phone so if I need to call you, I can call you? I don't think a landline is in the future for our daughters. I think it's going to be cell phones, but the new terminology of sexting has in the news recently. I think they're going to have bare-bones cell phones. They're going to have you can only call us and you can only call 911. No text messaging, no web, nothing.
Yeah, evolution is wonderful. We got our kids asking for cell phones. When I was 6, I lived out in the country, and we had a party line. There was like 5 people who shared the same line. Then when I was 9, we had an individual line, but it was hardwired to the wall, and you could not legally alter that.
Yeah,
no such thing even as a princess phone. I remember the first princess phone I saw. Ooh, that's small.
There's a fire horn going off here I am in Rochester, but much like you can't tear the tags off the mattress, you're prohibited by law. I do that in, you know, maintaining a house and with my wife and keeping the house clean and tidy. And
just, you know, that'd be a good podcast for you or myself or both of us, just talking about owning your own home and the maintenance of it.
What's interesting to me is it's amazing how we all try to be green and be conscious of the environment, but how much paper, as a parent and as a homeowner, that we have to engage with on a daily basis, with mail and bills and stuff like that. It's incredible how much paper, and you figured how many trees are being cut down because of this paper need.
Oh, here, and if you want to be real controversial, let's talk about a lot of these Braille documents that are created and never read. I mean, whole books, the 200-page cell phone bills. Well, any final thoughts? Any special podcast you're looking forward to? Or
on May 10th, we're going to have a gentleman by the name of Mark Wetzel from Omaha, Nebraska, who's legally blind and is a hitting instructor, a baseball hitting instructor, has his own batting cages at his home in Omaha, Nebraska, and has given instruction to people like Tony Gwynn. So we're going to have him on the show. He's going to tell us how he does everything. His RP, so he can only see out of the corner of his eyes. He'll situate himself, so that's all he does is look out of the corner of his eye and looks at the person's swing. And what you'll find is that he's not looking at the person. He's looking at how the bat comes through the zone. Tony Gwynn had a problem with his back foot. And when he moved his back foot, incredibly, his batting average went up. So that's going to be an interesting guest to have on May 10th. As always, you can tune into thegara.com and see whatever new is going on and whatever's taking place. And then tune into the show on ACB Radio, Mainstream, at 9 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, every Sunday night. And enjoy and learn. Michael, welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks, Steve, for having me on.
Michael, what was your first computer and then your first accessible computer?
Well, my first computer in summer of 1990 was a 286 AT 12 megahertz, 40 megabyte hard drive, and one of those old big deck talkers and the Kurzweil 7315 scanner. And I think that bad boy cost about $12,000.
I mentioned to people that you're a new employee, and we were just receiving a tweet from Ricky Anger. We know she's listening out there.
Yeah, well, I'm new and old, actually. I'm the newest and almost the oldest. As far as paid employee, yes, as of November 1st of last year. But I've been involved with the project going back as far as 1999. I mean, when it was a concept. But I've been involved for the last 7 years since it's been online, working on content, finding radio stations and other interesting internet content, books and recipes and all kinds of good stuff to populate the network.
It's good to know that Mike Calvo doesn't necessarily discriminate against the older population in providing employee, because he just puts the right people in the right spots and makes his company grow and grow and grow.
Well, I hope 47 isn't too old to work. I plan on another 20, 30 years of advocacy before I kick it. No, Serotech is a great company to work for. It's very visionary and innovative. We really have to stay on top of accessibility. It's changing all of the time. New technologies, a new hardware, new software, and you know, we really have to innovate and stay on top of it.
I'll be glad to say that I was a faithful follower of your interviews from ATIA as well as CSUN. I felt I got more from CSUN this year than actually traveling to California and walking those floors and walking through those booths and talking to different people. And I could sit back and listen to your interviews, and if I had a yawn, I didn't have to worry about yawning in someone's face. It's a rigorous conference. It's not something that's all fun and games. There's a lot of work involved.
Well, certainly these interviews brought a different perspective. If you're at the event, you know, they're pretty busy. There's a lot of noise going on, and maybe you get to touch these great tech toys. And we believe that these exhibits are very good, but they're very limited. As you said, people have to travel to that location, and we're hoping to expand that where they see the logic and wisdom of making them kind of international, where all the exhibitors get a chance to, you know, come by and talk about what they're offering, their products and services, and expand the whole conference to the world. very interesting to meet actual users of our products or people interested in our products and services and find out what their questions and concerns are. That's real insightful because you can have the greatest products in the world, but there's always issues of training and making sure people know how to use these products once they've acquired them.
Absolutely. Let's find out about Michael Loff. You're in a family of, I believe you said, all boys, and you're the only individual in your family that has a vision problem.
Yeah, the quick bio, I'm 47 and one of five boys, fourth of five. My aunt was also blind. Same reasons, but not really related because they're different sides of the family. My mother had rubella, or known as German measles, in the first trimester, and that generally results in damage to the eyes. So I was born blind with just a little bit of light perception. I have a degree from Wabash Valley College in radio, TV, broadcasting. Although back then, they didn't really let you, they were afraid to let you touch the TV equipment, afraid you'd point the cameras at the sun or something and damage the equipment, which I didn't really care. I wasn't an advocate at that time. That's cool, I'll do radio. And 9 years at WRTB in Vincennes, Indiana, and the last 4 years, that is music director and program director. DJ service for about 11 years, really from 1990 to 2001. Still did a few gigs after that as well.
You labeled carts, and do you label those with Braille?
Yeah, this was back in the day. This is pre-PC, so yeah, I put Braille labels. The Opticon was a big tool back then. We had logs, or you'd have your commercials.
You then went on to the Better Business Bureau.
Right, we did Better Business Bureau the last 6 years before coming to Cerotech. I've always been a real advocate of, I don't know if I want to say consumerism, but smart business transactions, knowing your rights as a consumer. Of course, the BBB, Better Business Bureau, is a business organization, so it was balancing those. I enjoyed that work, did a lot of phone consultations, working with people, helping them resolve problems that they had, sometimes an intermediary between them and businesses, and did some TV appearances every week, did segments, kind of consumer education, really enjoyed that work, and I enjoyed doing it, and then still have a good rapport with the people in the organization.
ATIA, they had tombstones out that says RIP SMA, that you guys eliminated any software maintenance agreement, and that was a breaking news story then for ATIA.
Once you buy System Access, it's lifetime upgrades. A couple ways that we accomplished that are, A, we have a form of what one might call cloud computing. In other words, when we come out with an update, we can send it out to all users, and there's no need to download a big 50, 60 megabyte file. So everyone has the same version. There's no version 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're all using the same and latest, greatest technology that we have to offer. This is one way that we make sure everyone has the latest and keep the cost down. I would say it's fairly innovative.
Cerotech has ramped up its employee staff in technical support, of course, with Brian, Richard Wells, and then I believe you have a gentleman by the name of Tom down in Florida, correct?
Oh, that's correct. And we have Raymond doing some sales and service, and Ricky's certainly can get involved when needed, and myself. So, you know, it's a team. It's a team project, and we all work to make sure that our users are taken care of. When you purchase a product from Cerotech, all money goes back into the company, whether it's staff, if we really do well in sales, or innovations to make the service run better, whether it's better servers, you know, whatever it may be.
It appears that Matt Campbell is content working with you guys. Is it true that Mike Calvo has him under lock and key there in Kansas?
He believes in the mission, as does every employee of Cerotech. We believe in the mission of accessibility. I would say most people there, I can't speak for everyone, but most people there would like to see a day when people do not have to pay extra for access technology. Best example of that you'll see right now might be the Macintosh with the built-in voice over speech and the next operating system coming out. They say it's going to raise the bar on access technology, so we'll see what that is. It's crazy right now to pay $1,200 for a screen reader. You know, we have options now where you can have a computer and speech for as low as $450 or $600, maybe $800 if you want a little greater performance. So to pay $1,200 just for a screen reader and still have to harness it with a computer, that needs to stop. At some point, the prices have to come down. But as long as it's being force-fed to government and they're overpaying for it, then the prices are going to stay inflated. Some of our users certainly get assistance. Many of them are paying for it out of their own pockets. And that's why we try to make the prices as reasonable as possible. And for those who can't afford it, so they have the option of SA2Go. So if they're in a third world country or even here in the USA and just can't afford it, they have access.
Provided they keep their web browser open, right?
Yes.
Amazing to me is the initial initiative that Mike Kevel introduced with accessibilityisaright.org and then the keys to K through 12, because it seems like on the heels of that came out Bookshares initiative to providing all school-age children a free Bookshare account. So it looks like Mike Calvert in himself or Saratech in themselves were setting the bar and everyone else was following on their heels.
Well, I'm sure there was some planning for the Bookshare project. Anyway, the point is that children, now they're in public schools, have teachers that are scattered covering multiple schools, don't want to learn Braille, maybe because they're too lazy or don't want to learn access technology, and school budgets and just the general economy, that we felt we needed to get something out to help the children to learn in those environments. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, the students have a talking computer so that they can go into a lab at a school and do everything that their sight or counterparts are doing. And so that's great what Bookshare is doing. I'm glad that people are looking out for young folks, because if we're not educated early, then we're at a severe disadvantage as we evolve into life and go out into the workplace.
Let it be known here to anyone who's not aware that it's not just speech, but enable someone who has low vision to magnify their screen up to 6x, or 6 times the normal size.
That is correct. So that will assist people who have a limited vision. Now, if you have severe visual limitations, that may not meet your needs, because you certainly don't have the full screen that some of the dedicated products do. But it is there, and many people it does meet their needs, and they get just that bit of enlargement. Most people, I don't think, go over 3x and maybe do color inversion, you know, switching black and white. Many people are happy with that. Your mileage varies slightly depending upon your display.
Feature that also can be turned on and off.
Exactly. So if you don't need it, you turn it off. But if you do, it's there and you can adjust it and play around and move it up in 0.5 increments, 1.5 and 6, so that you get the size that you want. We're very excited to do that.
I want you to explain to our listeners the 200 reasons why now someone should purchase System Access over competing screen readers.
Being a marketing guy, 200 reasons being $200. Basically, people who have had their SMAs or software maintenance agreements lapse, generally two reasons. I mean, it's either because the screen reader is no longer meeting their needs, probably a little more likely that they simply do not have the money to do it, or both. They have the money, but they just can't justify it. So what we've done is offered a $200 discount for our System Access, which is normally $499, giving you two licenses for two computers that you yourself can change on the fly if you switch machines. And the third, the U3 drive, the USB key that you can take to any other computer and make it talk and have the screen enlargement as well.
I have yet to find an AT vendor, except for System Access, that actually makes their thumb drives plug and play. Once you load the System Access onto the U3 drive through their menus, you take that thumb drive out, you go to any computer in the world, put that in, you have the same speech settings and magnification settings and other menu settings that you had on your home computer. So if you get off your home computer and have developed a U3 drive and said, you know what, I'm going to fly to Belgium. You go into a public library in Belgium, plug this little U3 drive into the USB drive, and you have exactly what you had when you were at home. There are other AT vendors that have not yet done that because they require video drivers. System Access, to me, outside of, I don't believe there's anybody else out there that has made it as easy being plug and play.
I'll never forget the time I went to my brother's house on Thanksgiving and corrupted his computer. You know, I was gone already, and he said, well, I just kind of thought about what was recently installed and removed it. So that's why we try to keep it as simple as possible and not leaving any remnants behind on the computer, so that its function will not be impaired, because there's no quicker way to get someone to stop allowing you to use their computer than to corrupt it with bad Braille drivers or video chaining. So, yeah, we don't need that. And, of course, the special, they're $299 if you have an expired SMA with either JAWS or Window Eyes. You can certainly take advantage of that and go to Cerotech.com. Many people now are buying the netbooks, the small 9, 10-inch screen displays.
I have one sitting right in front of me.
We have the Atom license for $149. So it only works on those Atom processors, which are the core of the netbook computers. So you can go get a netbook for $299, and our everyday price of this Atom license, now it's just for that one computer, $149, and you have an accessible computer with great screen reader, $450. I mean, are you going to beat that?
No. System Access has been part of the NFB low-cost screen reader seminar that it held some time ago. It is a great opportunity for someone who, it's not going to break the bank. It's under $500. When I joined Facebook, and I have it as part of the Garrett Show, I used System Access. I went through the whole process of signing up for Facebook without any sighted assistance, going through the capture, the whole nine yards with System Access. Any other screen reader, it was difficult. You know, I won't go into details as to how difficult, but it was difficult. System Access, breeze right through.
Call and speak with one of our representatives tomorrow, and you can do so toll-free at 866-202-0520. Try it out. See what it's about. Anyone can do that by simply going to www.satogo.com. Just follow the prompts.
Michael, you guys also offer a payment plan.
Yeah, we have two payment systems. We have a four-year for $24.95 that you can buy everything and have it starting today. Access to the network, system access to screen reader, and all the updates, and you're set there. Because some folks say, well, with the economy, I think 4 years is a little too long. It scares me. So we have a non-committal one for $39.95. And this one's really great because if you do it up to 2 years, then you go ahead and own system access. So you have that and it's yours. But if you do it for 3-4 months and either decide that for some reason the technology doesn't work for you or your economic conditions change, you can leave at any time and you're not committed to it. So two different systems there, 2 year for $39.95 or 4 year for $24.95, whichever you feel best about working with, and many people utilizing that. It's a great way if you don't have the means to get the access technology in your hands today.
Can you just touch really quickly about the accessibleevent.com?
Just launching accessibleevent.com, and what it is it's a portal to allow college students and people in the workplace to actually be able to see the PowerPoint presentations that their colleagues and fellow students are looking at. It also works with Word documents, web pages, audio and video. It's going to allow college students to know exactly what their professors are doing. So works with GoToMeeting and WebEx and Connect. So we're very excited about that to give college students and people in the corporate environment a chance to be involved in those webinars and have full access.
What podcast do you listen to?
I listen to the CNET Buzz, and I listen to Ken Radio. Those are two on the technology side. There's all kinds of them. I tend to go hot and cold with podcasts, and I switch off and listen to different things. I've listened to a few about Macintosh because I've been playing with that.
Are you an avid reader?
Yeah, I have the Victor. I'm in the NLS program, and I pay the $229 every year to Audible for 24 books. It's about the best deal you can get there. So, yes, I do like to read. Mainly nonfiction and autobiographies and biographies and things of that sort.
So on your Victor Reader stream right now, what are you listening to?
Self-help kicks and reading a lot of books about, you know, entrepreneurism and time management and things of that sort. I like the magazines that they have. The consumer reports and just kind of the current information stuff that the NLS, and of course, they're launching their new site this Thursday. Speaking of Thursday, I just quickly mentioned, if you want to take advantage of that $200 discount, make sure to do so before Thursday at midnight Eastern at Cerotech, Cerotech.com.
Do you have any last words for anyone?
We look forward to helping you to achieve the most you can out of life by giving the technology to access the things you're interested in.
You've been listening to Cerotalk. Visit us at www.cerotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@cerotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.